Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and commit ourselves to Him and ask Him to speak to us through His Word this morning, shall we? Father, I thank You for the song that Kara just reminded us of, that when it's all said and done, the only thing that really matters is if we've been faithful to You. And we live at a time when it's difficult, and oftentimes we don't see it as important as it really is. And I pray that even this morning through Your Word that You would remind us of that and encourage us and challenge us and help us to become the faithful followers of Christ that we need to be. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. When you hear the word convictions, many of us probably don't even know what that means. If you were to ask some of your children what convictions were, they would say, well, it means how many times you've been arrested. You know, but even us older ones, I think we've lost the whole meaning of convictions. There was a time when if you ran across a church-going person, they had convictions. They didn't smoke, they didn't drink, they didn't chew, they didn't go with girls that do. You know, there were those things. You didn't work on Sunday, you didn't buy anything on Sunday. You know, the length of a guy's hair was determined by their convictions. Women wearing dresses or pants, it was based on convictions, and there were convictions about everything. And then with time, we began to shy away from that because we found that most of the time it was legalism, correct? And I think we've come to a point now where we don't know the difference between a conviction and legalism. We have strayed so far that we think that anybody that would happen to have convictions is a legalist. So let me give you a definition that would help clarify the difference. Legalism is an individual that has a list of do's and don'ts because they think by doing the do's and not doing the don'ts that somehow it elevates their relationship with God. That's legalism. When the truth of the matter is that you are accepted by God by your faith in Jesus Christ alone. There is nothing you can do to enhance, to change, to better that acceptance. You are accepted totally and completely on your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And anything that you would add to that in hopes that that might give you extra credit, that's legalism. Now, convictions are things that through our study of the Scripture, we learn things that God asks from us to do and things He would rather we didn't do. And so in our study of Scripture, we draw conclusions, and with those conclusions, we come up with convictions. And the difference between a conviction and legalism, a conviction is, I believe that God would have me to do this to show Him I love Him. Not to be better accepted or more accepted. Nothing I do can change what Christ did on the cross of Calvary alone. But I believe because we live in the day and age in which we live, we have taken everything that would be considered a conviction and we have tagged it liberalism. And so we now live in a day when no one has convictions. Anything goes. But the truth of the matter is, when there are no convictions, then there will be compromise. Remember in the Garden of Eden? God placed Adam and Eve in the garden and told them that anything they wanted to eat, they could eat. He wanted them to love Him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. He wanted them to have a conviction that said, we will eat anything in the garden except. But they didn't have that conviction, did they? They compromised. And so there's a difference. So biblical convictions are things that need to develop within my life, need to develop in your life. My convictions can't be your convictions, okay? Your convictions can't be my convictions. Now, we may agree on these things, but a conviction is a personal thing that we have come to a conclusion in the study of the Word of God where God has led me, and I will therefore stand. In your bulletin, you have a little blurb talking about the Reformation and Martin Luther, and Martin Luther didn't mean to cause a war. He wasn't there to divide the church. He was there to discuss things that he learned from the Word of God, and he wanted to challenge them, and he brought persecution and hatred upon himself, but he finally just said, listen, it's my study of the Scripture. Unless you can show me differently in the Scripture, this is where I stand. That's a conviction. It's not legalism. He was fighting legalism in the Roman Catholic Church at the time. But conviction is something that helps me to grow to maturity, and we've got four steps here. The first step in a conviction is a commitment to Scripture as my own authority. All right? The Scripture is my authority. This is where I stand. I know that this is what it teaches. I believe this is what God would have me to do. Therefore, it's a commitment to the Word of God and the Word of God alone. It is my final authority. I know they don't think this, and I know they don't think that, and I know they don't think that, and those over there don't think that, but through the study of the Scripture, this is what it says, and therefore I stand. And so it's a commitment to the Word of God as our final authority. It's the construction of specific beliefs and convictions based on that authority. That's just kind of what I said. Study the Scriptures, this is what it says, therefore this is what I'll believe, and this is where I stand. And so it's the construction of those specific beliefs that we hold and live by and hope to shine with. And then the third is the courage. It's the courage to live out those convictions in faith. It takes courage. When we live in a day when there are no convictions and everybody wants to tag it as legalism, and it's just pretty hard to draw a line and say, this is where I stand, because people laugh at you and ridicule you and think you're a nut. Nobody has convictions nowadays. God is just a God of love, and he accepts us for everything. But it takes courage to live out those convictions by faith. And then the fourth one is a compassionate attitude towards those who disagree. Again, your convictions can't be my convictions, and my convictions aren't necessarily going to be your convictions. But we need to be able to have a compassionate attitude towards those that would have convictions differing than mine. Did you know Jesus had convictions? He did. He had convictions. And he was compassionate towards those who disagreed. He was able to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of the Father that sent me to finish his work. It wasn't about him. It was about the Father and glorifying him. He had a conviction. He was going to do this. John 5, I can of myself do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgments is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. Again, he had convictions. He was there about the Father's business. In John 6, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That was a conviction. He wasn't going to change. He wanted to, in a sense, you know. Lord, Father, is there any other way to save these rascals? Then let's do it. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine. And then in Matthew 4, Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So he had a commitment. He had a conviction. It wasn't about him. It was about God. So here we are in life, and we feel like there's a little angel over here, you know, a good part of my conscience, and a little devil over here, the bad part of my conscience, and they're trying to sway me, and I'm trying to make decisions. And Joshua called the people, and he said, therefore be very courageous this is actually a charge to Joshua. Therefore be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. In other words, if I don't have convictions, if the Word of God really is just a book with ideas, it doesn't really matter how I live. I don't want to become a legalist, therefore I just do whatever. But the Word of God is meant to keep us straight and narrow. It really is. It's to guide us and to help us. We are to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Now, how can I do that? And therefore, I study the Scriptures, and with that, I put together these standards in which I will live by. And in so doing, I want to show Him I love Him. It's not trying to get extra credit or that He might accept me because I do these things. It won't work. The only way we're accepted is through Christ and Him alone. But we draw these convictions so that we stay on the straight and narrow and we don't wander. So convictions are a preventive against compromise. If I'm going to be a man of faithfulness, if you're going to be an individual of faithfulness, you need convictions. There needs to be these things in your life from your study of Scripture that you draw a line and say, I cannot pass because I want to please Him and Him alone. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah 35. And those of you that are following closely know that what happened just now. None of you are following closely. I skipped 34. The only reason I skipped 34 is because 34 and 35 kind of go together. And in chapter 34, what we find is a decree that has been passed by the king, recognizing that, you know, God had laid a standard for us. Our Jewish brethren, if you were a Jew and you ran into financial difficulties, you could sell yourself to your brother as a slave. And you would serve for 6 years, and after that six years of serving, the seventh year, you would be set free then. Your debt would be cleared. Well, what had happened is that this no longer was a conviction with the Jews, even though God had commanded it. And so they had kept these slaves over and over and over and over and over, and they weren't releasing them on the seventh year. And somehow they had this idea to turn over a new leaf, and they decided we're going to follow Scripture and we're going to let the slaves go. And after they did that, they said, who's going to make supper? Who's going to milk the cow? I don't want to do it. So they made them become slaves again. So they had flip-flopped. What looked like a good decision wasn't really a decision at all because they flip-flopped. There was no conviction here. And so with that example of 34, then God is saying to Jeremiah, let me show you what conviction is. And so we pick it up in 35. And in chapter 35, verse 1, it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go to the house of the Rechabites and speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. So God says to Jeremiah, I want you to go to the house of the Rechabites. These individuals that are nomads, they've happened to come into Jerusalem and they're in the safety of the walls because the Babylonians are out there and they're trying to survive, and so even though they lived off the land and they moved from place to place because the Babylonians were out there, they've come into the walls for security. And there's something about this group of individuals that God wants to show to the Jewish people. And so he says, Jeremiah, I want you to go to the house of the Rechabites, and I want you to bring them over to the temple, and I want you to take them into the temple and find a nice room there, and I want you to offer them wine to drink. Drop down to verse 5. He took them inside, and it says in verse 5, then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and said to them, drink wine. Verse 6. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall not drink no wine, you nor your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Thus We have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyard, field, or seed, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem, for we fear the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. So they find themselves living in Jerusalem now because of the danger. And Jeremiah says, well, come on into the house of God. And he takes them in and he places before them a table of wine. Maybe even some jerky. I threw that in there. And they said, oh, no, we can't. We couldn't do this. The interesting thing here, these Rechabites, the convictions that they're holding to are not biblical convictions. God didn't say that you couldn't drink any wine. God didn't say you couldn't have property. He just commanded Jeremiah to buy property. He didn't say you couldn't have a garden or a vineyard, but they had convictions. Their forefather had taught them this, and they were sticking to it. And no influence. This is a priest. This is a prophet. This is a man of God saying, come and enjoy. And they said, can't do that. We just can't do that. And so they refused. R.E.O. White said this about the Rechabites. See if it's not applicable maybe to our own day, but he says the Rechabites were a family guild who worshiped God strictly after the manner of the pilgrim patriarch, kind of like Abraham, remember? He didn't have a house. He didn't settle down. He moved around. He walked by faith. And so it says, living nearby as possible to the nomadic fashion of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, crops, vineyards, houses, towns, and cities, all tied men to one place, they said. And so it bred luxury and strife of possession and materialism and the worship of fertility gods and all manner of soft, lazy extravagance, very different from the hard, disciplined life of the herdsmen under the desert stars. And so they had a conviction, kind of like the Amish. They're going to withhold from that. They don't want to be sucked in. They don't want to compromise. They don't want to give in to the world. So they've got these convictions that keep them from crossing the line. But again, these weren't necessarily biblical commands, but they were personal convictions that they had. And the interesting thing here, let me just say, the Rechabites had their convictions. They drank no wine. They didn't build a house. They didn't plant a garden. They didn't have a vineyard. And these were not the commands of God, but they've been keeping them for 200 years now. So when Dad said it, Dad passed it on to his sons. And to his sons, and to his sons. A very humbling fact about us is that oftentimes our children don't carry on. In fact, some of us, our fathers, would be rolling over in their graves if they saw what we were doing today. Doesn't mean they were necessarily right, but they had convictions. Okay? Good, bad, or indifferent. They had convictions. They had standards. They wouldn't cross a line. Now, some of it was legalism. That was wrong. Always wrong. But convictions are never wrong. Never. And so the Rechabites had these convictions, and God was trying to teach Jeremiah something here. So they weren't biblical convictions, but this was impressive. God's people didn't have anything like this. In fact, drop down a little bit, and in verse 12, this is after Jeremiah, and I don't know if Jeremiah knew what was going to happen. This might have been a lesson that God was going to show to Jeremiah, in a sense saying, you're not the only guy around here that has convictions, because he kind of thought he was. Nobody else cared what God thought. Nobody else cared what God said, and so he might have felt like the Lone Ranger, and God is purposely showing him that he's not the Lone Ranger. There are others who have convictions. Verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction and obey my words, says the Lord? And these Rechabites listen to their earthly father?" That's what the argument is. And so Jeremiah is supposed to go back to the children of Judah and say, look at these guys here, these nomads, these crazy guys that live out there wandering around. They don't have a house. They won't drink wine. They won't plant a garden. They don't have any vineyards. But look at these guys. For 200 years, they have been holding something that their forefathers held to. And you guys don't even care what I think as your Lord and your God. That was a real slap in the face to the children of Judah. Because God, the heavenly Father, who had given them his word and his laws and his commandments and asked them to love him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, said, who needs it? But the Rechabites listened to their earthly father and drew a line in the sand. Said, we can't. You probably don't understand. We're pretty weird. You might even show us in the Bible where it's okay to drink wine once in a while, but we can't do it. And what God was wanting the children of Judah to understand was that this is it. This God has given to us. And in this, God has laid down guidelines and standards and do's and some don'ts, and we're to do it to show him that we love him. We can't get extra credit because he accepts us totally, completely on Christ's accomplishment on the cross of Calvary. So God uses their example to rebuke the children of Judah. So when it comes to convictions, do I have any? Do you have any convictions, really? I mean, things that you've studied the scriptures and you know this is the conclusion, and therefore, because God said it, you believe it, and that settles it for you. That's what a conviction is. God said it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. He said it. I believe it, and that settles it for me. That's a conviction. 1 Corinthians tells us, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so then the question could be asked is, am I doing this really bringing glory to God? I know what it says, but I don't really like it. So I'm going to do this. Well, can I do this and really bring glory to God? No. So he says, whether you eat or drink, I mean, let's get down pretty trivial. Whatever you do it for his glory. That's what you're living for. 2 Timothy, we're told to flee evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace along with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. That should become a conviction in me. This is my goal. This is my desire. I will flee these youthful desires, and I'm going to pursue godliness. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 1 Peter, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. There's a lot of unbelievers out there. A lot of unbelievers out there. And you're supposed to have something they need, and they need to see something in you that is different. And they speak highly of you because of your conduct. Going back again to Matthew 6, 33 through 34, we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then it continues. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient is the day is its own trouble. In other words, don't worry about tomorrow. You honor him right now. You glorify him right now, today. There may be consequences. There may be whatever tomorrow. But if you have the conviction, you stand today because you want to please him. Albert Moeller said, convictions are not merely beliefs we hold. They are the beliefs that hold us in their grip. This is what it says. And I accept this. And I will not part from it. So, here we are. We're individuals, I think, that really in our culture we have confused two things. We've confused convictions with legalism, and we don't want legalism. We don't want legalism. And so we'll run from legalism as far as we can run from it and as fast as we can run from it. But the moment we run into convictions, we say, that's legalism. Wait a second, is it? Why do we hold that? Well, because the Word says so. And therefore, I'm going to do it. I'm not trying to earn extra credit with God, because if I know Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm accepted. No one can pluck me out of his hand. But he's asked me to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I am to put him first and foremost. I'm to have no other gods besides him. And therefore, because he said it and I love him, I must obey. Those are convictions. And that's what we're lacking today. But the Bible tells me I must deny myself. I got to take up my cross daily and follow him. Otherwise, sin will become my master. When there's no convictions, there's compromise. You know, sometimes your pastor elder board finds themselves in difficult spots because you have placed us in a position to where we are to protect the body and stay true to the Word and set a standard. And sometimes we're put in this spot where we have to make decisions based on the convictions that we have on the Word of God, and it's not easy, especially when we live at a time in an age when convictions seem to be legalism, and we run from that. But there are times your leaders are put in a difficult spot, and they have to make a decision based on the teaching and their understanding of the Word of God, and they draw these conclusions, and they take a stand. That's hard, especially when they know there's going to be repercussions. But they do it because they love you, and we love the Lord. And while we live at a time when it seems that so few do, and that to have a conviction makes you weird, but God wants us all to have convictions. He wants us to be men and women who study the Word of God to know what it says, and then to apply it to our life and to live. So, yeah, I got to deny myself sometimes, but without convictions, I am surely going to compromise. And we see so much of that today. So the decision rolls down to each of us, to me. I have to make this decision. And this is where Joshua said to the people, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, well, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. So it's my decision as to whether or not I obey. It's your decision whether or not you obey. But we're to be men and women that love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And therefore, by studying the Word of God, we develop these convictions where we will stand because we love him and we want to please him. So compromise, it's not the way we need to go. Adam and Eve tried it, and they blew it. We read the scriptures from cover to cover, and we see so much compromise so often in the lives of God's people. And over and over and over again, he has to come and shake them and wake them up and bring them back. But it isn't long, and there's compromise again. And we are living in a time of great compromise. Our country used to know what a few convictions were. Not any longer. And the culture is seeping into the church. And if we're not careful, it won't be long and we won't have convictions. And the Word of God won't be meaningful to us. We'll see it as a history book that we might be able to learn some little principles, but we don't have to take it seriously. But God has placed His Word above His name. That's how important it is to God. He has given it to us to guide us, to direct us. It is to be a lamp and a light directing the path in which I travel. I am to hide it in my heart in such a way that I do not sin against Him. We teach the Awana children. Compromise or conviction? It's our choice. Would you pray with me? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, are you willing to examine your own life and your own walk with God? Have you found there's compromise where God's word isn't as important, really isn't your final authority? Just talk to Him. Recommit. Tell Him you want to be an individual that loves Him and loves His word, that you desire to live a life that will bring glory to Him. Maybe there's things in our lives that we need to repent from, things that we need to turn from, things that we need to change, disciplines that we need to put into practice. Just talk to Him. If you're here this morning and you were always thinking that the things that you did somehow made you right with God, it doesn't. You need a personal relationship with Him, and right where you are, all you need to do is say, God, I realize that there's nothing I can do to be accepted by You. My sin are the wages that separate me from You, and I desire a relationship. And I realize that Jesus Christ is my only hope from what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary, and I want Him to be my Lord and Savior today. Father, the Rechabites were pretty impressive in their day. You used them to be an example to Your own children who had no convictions, who had considered Your word as insignificant, unprofitable, and unvaluable. We live in a day when those things are happening all around us, and You are desiring that we become individuals who love You with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and we live with the convictions of bringing You glory in all that we do. There's not one of us here that is without fault. There's not one of us here that hasn't really blown it and messed up. But You are a God of second, third, fourth, 100 chances. The moment that the Holy Spirit pricks our hearts and shows us our sin, and we come running to You in repentance to turn from that life to a life that brings You glory, Your arms are always wide open. Thank You for that. May that be taking place right now in our lives. That You would help us to become individuals that love You with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.